May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer.
Those of you who come regularly are shocked that we're in John chapter 4. Some things I'll talk about some more tonight and reinforce some things I talked about on Monday. What we saw Monday, what I said to you Monday, was that Jesus, the story at the well, one of the things it says to us with the woman, Samaritan woman, is that Jesus is just not after followers. I think that's one of the problems with modern Christianity, is that we get people to do the Baptist bar mitzvah and pray the sinner's prayer at some time or walk the aisle, and then we're content with that. We think, okay, you've prayed the prayer, and we're going to mark that down as somebody's now going to go to heaven. And that's the deal. But that's not what Jesus was after. Jesus wasn't just after decisions. He wasn't just after followers. Jesus was after lovesick worshipers. And I use the word worshiper to define what he's defining as someone who just loves him with great passion, with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. What we read this morning, the first and great commandment, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Therefore, it should be it's his number one priority. It's what he's after. And that's why the whole conversation about being true worshipers. But just to add to that, and again, I think this is what we'll look at some more tonight, what I'm going to say now, follow up on that. Bracken read from verse 31 through verse 7, verse 31 of chapter 3 through verse 7, but let me read the verses leading up to that so you understand the context. This is verse 22 of chapter 3. In the midst of these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he was spending time with them and baptizing. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salim, because there was much water there, and they were coming and were being baptized. For John had not yet been thrown into prison. For there arose therefore a discussion on the part of John the Baptist's disciples with a Jew about purification, baptism. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, who is with you beyond the Jordan, Jesus, to whom you have borne witness? Behold, he is baptizing, and everybody's now coming to him, not us. Jesus answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. And so this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase, I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. And he who is of the earth is from the earth and speaks of the earth, but he who comes from above is above all. What he has seen and heard, of that he bears witness, and no man receives his witness. Now, understand the context. This is still John the Baptist. I know in the version that Bracken read, it says, now Jesus said about being from above, but that's not right. This is still John the Baptist talking about Jesus. And John the Baptist, having talked about this bridal paradigm, about Jesus being a bridegroom looking for a bride, we've talked about that, particularly in the last month or two, that one of the metaphors, one of the language of concerning the church, one is the body of Christ, the other one is the bride of Christ. Those are the two metaphors. And as I mentioned, it's not like at some point in God's history, before Christ came, the Father thought, you know, I got a good idea. Why don't we have a bride for Jesus? That was always God's plan for mankind, that Israel was looked at as the bride of the Messiah, the bride of God. And God's design has always been, the Father, that there would be an eternal companion, the very bride of his Son, that would reign with him throughout eternity. And so it wasn't some new idea. It's always been God's plan and God's purpose for mankind. That's why this stage in our human history will be consummated at the bridal feast in heaven. In this bridal context, then John throws in there and he says, he who's from above is above all. He who's of the earth is earthly. But he who comes from above is above all. And then he goes on and he says, for what he has seen and heard, he bears witness of. What I want you to see here is that Jesus, as the Son of Man, as man, showing us how man was meant to live, even though he was God, but lived as man on the earth, Jesus lived as one seated in the heavenlies. When he talks about him coming from heaven or coming from above, he's not just talking about that being Jesus' origin. He's talking about Jesus approached everything in life from an above perspective, from heaven's point of view. People of the earth see things, he says, that are earthly. Humans who haven't been redeemed, they only see what appears to be from ground level. But Jesus, being heavenly, carrying the life of the Father, being heavenly minded, he saw things from a different perspective. And it said that he bore witness of what he had seen and what he had heard. Now for CTKers, I'm going to probably do this Sunday morning a little bit more. We did it on a Wednesday, kind of. We're going to probably expand it some Sunday because I think it's so important for us to get this. You see, the scripture tells us that Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you want, whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. Fascinating scripture. But if you go to the very next verse in this chapter 3 about Jesus, it says about him, it says, for he whom God has sent speaks the words of God and releases the Spirit without measure. You see, Jesus as man abided in the Father, and the Father's words abided in him. And when the scripture says that Jesus only did those things he saw the Father doing, and he only said those things he heard the Father saying, that's this verse in chapter 3, that what he saw and heard, those are the things he bore witness of. In other words, there are two realms of reality. Those who have the earth see what appears to be and react to that. Those who are from above, they may have their feet on the earth, but they see things from a kingdom of heaven perspective. And that to them is a greater reality than what appears to be on the earth. And what they've seen and heard in that realm, they project into this realm, which transitions and transforms situations. In other words, from the earth, anybody with any sense, like his disciples, all they saw were 5 crackers and 2 small fish. But it says Jesus looked up to heaven. So Jesus was heavenly minded. What he saw and heard, that's what he bore witness of. And what he saw and heard was a provision, a totally different scenario than what appeared to be. And he released that into the situation. And there was much more to the reality than just 5 loaves and 2 fish. That will, those of you CTKers, will talk more about this on Sunday. It affects everything. But think about the woman at the well. Think about the context, what I said. What others saw when they saw the Samaritan woman, they saw a total failure. They saw an absolute loser. They saw a completely immoral person. But Jesus bore witness of what he saw and what he heard. And when he saw this woman coming, he had the Father's perspective. What he saw, what he heard, because he came at reality from above reality, what he saw was not a failure. He saw a woman who had been married five times. And you know, in Jewish culture, women can't divorce their husbands. But Moses had created a new law that Jesus discarded, where husbands could divorce their wives for almost nothing and leave their families. So she had five husbands. I doubt if they all died. Five times, possibly, she had been abandoned. Now, maybe her big issue is that she made some really bad choices. She's now living with somebody because who would want to take another shot at saying yes to marriage and going through all that again? Playing it safe. So what they saw was a failure. What Jesus saw and heard was a fighter. She was longing for something, and she just kept at it, even though she was making bad choices. What they saw was a loser. What Jesus saw was a lover, longing to be loved, to be a part of something epic and significant, a love relationship that would be transformational. What they saw and how they treated her was as an immoral person. What Jesus saw, remember what John the Baptist has talked about, was his bride. And he awakened that in her. See, that's how the Lord approached everything. Oh, by the way, you're in Christ. He is in you. He has already gifted you with the mind of Christ, just as Jesus walked with the mind of the Father, so that we can start seeing, start releasing what we see and hear from heaven's perspective. How many of us waste time in every day reacting to what appears to be instead of releasing what we've seen and heard from heaven's point of view? So again, for CTKers, forgive me, that's a trailer for Sunday morning. But I think it's so important that we get this down so that we walk in this. Today, you're going to have a chance to pray for the sick. You may be dealing with sickness. What appears to be is just sickness that's prevailing. What Jesus saw and heard was not just a blind person, but someone seeing. Not just a crippled person, but someone walking. You with me? And he bore witness to what he saw and heard, and his bearing witness released the reality of the kingdom into that situation and totally changed it. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.